Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Dr. Joe. I'm talking to you live from Pearl River, Louisiana, on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. And we want to talk about Hebrews chapter 9 this morning for a few minutes in our Jesus Saves series about the New Testament and how Paul the Apostle compares the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, the New Covenant that came by Jesus Christ, whereas Moses, God brought in the Old Testament and the law with Moses, then he brings in, Jesus Christ brings in the New Testament that is enforced today and for eternity and always was by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So let's get busy and we'll highlight some things that are in here. Okay. Verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. I want to back up to verse 5. And over at the cherubims of the glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Well, that is because Paul wasn't a high priest, and only a high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies once a year. So that's why he's saying that. Now, according to this, I want to use Clark as an explanation of the tabernacle and the furniture and the furnishings and everything. Okay. Although Christ be but one, yet he is understood by us under a variety of forms. He is the tabernacle. He says, I will give my body. He is the tabernacle on account of the human body in which he dwelt. He is the table because he is our bread of life. He is the ark, which was the law of God enclosed within, because he is the word of the Father. He is the candlestick because he is our spiritual light. He is the altar of incense because he is the sweet-smelling odor of sanctification. He is the altar of burnt offering because he is the victim by death on the cross for the sins of the world. This Father has said in a few, this sums up the tabernacle and what it meant in relation to Jesus Christ. He says, "I'll the temple that will be destroyed, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." And he was talking about his body. So this is really a concentration, an explanation, concentration of explanation of the first tabernacle as it refers to and typifies and symbolizes Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Okay. Verse 7. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Verse 8, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. And reformation is the straightening out of everything, and that was Jesus Christ, the second tabernacle. So all of this that he's referring to in these verses refers to the Mosaic Law, Exodus through Deuteronomy, and other places in the Old Testament. Okay, verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. Now Christ is saying, I'm the high priest. I went into the Holy of Holies. But anyhow, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So the First Testament is an example, but it also, the Second Testament, the Second Temple, the blood of Jesus Christ, includes those that believe in the First Testament, and they receive eternal life. Verse 16, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. That reminds me of a will. You know, my wife and I have got our will made up, and it doesn't go into effect until after we're dead. It has no authority until after we're dead. I was the took care of my dad's legal things while he was living. Well, right before he died, he gave me power of attorney. And so I had the power of attorney until he died. Then his will went into effect, went into power. And so it is, and that's what the reference is here. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, verse 18, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. So Jesus Christ had to shed his blood, but he was the highest quality of blood that was ever on earth. His was pure. His was perfect. If he wouldn't have offered himself up as a sacrifice on Calvary, he'd be still living today. That's how his perfect. There was no viruses or problems with his blood. If he were to get a blood, go for lab work, his blood would have been perfect every time. So That's why he had to give his blood for the full effect of our redemption and our salvation. Verse 23, it was there necessary that the patterns of things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So it's a higher quality building, Jesus Christ's body. It's a higher quality sacrifice, Jesus Christ's blood. And he did it for you and I, me, for us. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. Blood of others, not his own, as Jesus Christ did, but blood of others. For then, verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, there's something interesting here. Christ is considered a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It says in Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain, Jesus Christ, was crucified. The effect of his crucifixion and the power of his crucifixion and the salvation of those that look for him was done before he created the world. Before he created heavens and the earth, Jesus Christ was sacrificed and slain, and his blood was on the altar in the temple in heaven. Verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I want you to look at that. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him. That's the difference. That's the key right there. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit lives within you, you're not looking around for this world to save itself. You're not looking for some government to take care of you. You're not looking for them to solve all the problems of the world. They can't. But the believer, the true believer that was saved and was elected before the foundations of the world, they're looking for him. They're looking for Jesus. They're looking up. They're not looking around. They're not looking down. Are you looking up? Are you waiting for our Savior to come? I'm about out of time. I can't go any further than that. If you want to contact me, wsm217@gmail.com. God bless you.